Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. I got to tell you, I love doing this show, and I love presenting live music to the public. Today, we are very fortunate indeed to have Mr. John Colbert. John is a behind-the-scenes kind of a guy, which is don't look behind that curtain, right? Play that little theme that people might know from you.
They might know.
Don't even tell them. No. Just play it. All right. Now you can tell us what it is.
That's the Baseball Tonight theme for ESPN. I wrote that in 1990. It's been running ever since.
And you've been getting money on and off depending upon the contract,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we weren't going to talk about that.
Right, right, we're just joking. That's the music
right,
business,
right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's life. One day you're on top, the next day,
that's life.
Gone.
Isn't that a Frank Sinatra song? That's life.
Yeah, and I could sing
right.
It, but then we'd
no,
pay
we
royalties.
Pay royalties.
Right. Anyway, so John, you're an infamous keyboard player, composer, songwriter, sideman. You own and run a recording studio
and
called.
I do it. I cook. I clean.
That's the man thing.
Yeah,
never,
yeah.
never cook well. Never clean well, or you may end up having to do it.
Exactly right.
But you, what is the name of your recording studio?
Colbert Operations.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a little play on
words. So we actually met, or didn't meet, but got connected through my friend Pete Hop.
Petey Hop, yeah. Great.
Who runs the Monday Night Acoustic Jam at Lucy's in Pleasantville.
Yeah.
Now, you play there?
I play there once a month on a Wednesday. This month, February, I'm going to be there on the 20th, February 20th.
But do you play at the jam?
Yeah, I play at the jam. I'm going to go down there tonight.
I didn't see a keyboard there.
Well, sometimes I bring my accordion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I didn't bring today.
So one of the features of this show is part of it is an enticement to people to come to the jam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're taking the people that we feel have reached a certain level. You know, some people take longer than others to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I think I've taken 40 years to get to the level I want to be. But, and we bring them on the show. So you have a very interesting background. I went to your website. And we were just talking before how nowadays you don't need to send a bio out. You don't need to send really a press kit out.
Right.
Depending who you're talking to, you can just say, go to, what's your website?
JohnCobert.com. JohnCobert.com.
Do you have a MySpace page?
No, I did that for a while, and I was getting all kinds of weird stuff, freaky little responses from there, and so I dropped it.
Right, I think they have some filtering now.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to do that again. I'll make a MySpace music page.
Right. Anyway, you were 19 years old.
Right.
And you were in a band called?
Well, the band at the time was called Community Apple, but we changed the name to BOMF, B-O-M-F, which I really don't want to say what it stands for. We used to say Band of Music Freaks.
Okay.
That's really...
And you got signed to an album deal, right?
We were signed to a management deal by Record Plant Studios in New York. Roy Sakala was the owner of Record Plant Studios, and that was a real big recording studio where everybody was doing their records.
That was a big studio.
Yeah.
Does it still exist?
No, not there.
That's probably a deli.
It's actually like the Cotton Club or something like that.
Oh.
What is it, the Blue Note? Blue Note, downstairs. And then upstairs, just a bunch of offices now. But they used to have the first floor and the 10th floor, and we had a rehearsal room there on the 10th floor called the BOMF Room. And we used to just go in every day and write music and record demos, and we'd meet everybody who was there recording. So, you know, the Stones were there, and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and Cheap Trick, and all these
And you met them all, huh?
Yeah, we met them all, and Lennon was there, John Lennon was there doing his... He was doing the Walls and Bridges record, and he was finishing up the rock and roll album, which he started with Phil Spector, and then brought back to New York to finish on his own. And so we were there when he needed people to do things like We Clapped on Whatever Gets You Through the Night, and...
Can you tell which is your hand clap?
In fact, I had a little Sony Walkman recorder at the time, you know, and I brought it in with me, like, and I did a little interview with John. So I have it on tape. I have it at home. And I brought it into the session. I put it in the corner. So I have the whole session taped. So
would Yoko sue you if you put that anywhere?
Probably.
Yeah.
So Lennon was great. He was, we were clapping, and he was very concerned that it all sounded like one guy.
Which is virtually impossible.
Yeah, when you have like 11 people clapping, you know. So he used to, I have him on tape saying, "Does it sound like one guy? How is that?" All right, so I can't pick up my own clap.
But you actually played keyboards on...
I did. I played on Stand By Me, which is also an interesting story, a little inside story for musicians. But the song Stand By Me was finished. It was recorded and it was mixed. And it was on... tape. It was on quarter-inch tape.
It was already mixed down.
It was already mixed down to quarter-inch tape, and John decided he wanted to add some strings. So I had this fake, you know, this thing called a string ensemble made by ARP.
I remember.
Which is like a synthesizer that simulated the sound of strings. I brought it into the studio, and because it was mixed already, the assistant engineer, whose name was Jimmy Iovine.
Oh my goodness!
Who was our friend? That's how we got into the record plant in the first place. He's now the president, the owner of Interscope Records.
Right.
Doing pretty well for himself.
But he was a famous engineer. He engineered and produced tons of famous classic rock albums.
Oh, yes. And this was right in the beginning when he was starting to get into the whole thing. So he was the assistant engineer on that date. He disconnected the erase head from the recording, from the tape recorder. And I played the strings on the string ensemble. But the funny thing was, I wanted a very, very wide voicing. I wanted a really low note and a high note and one in the middle. So
we needed three hands for that.
We needed three hands for that. So John came over and I showed him where to put his finger. So he stood over my shoulder, put his finger on the note in the middle, and I played the upper and the lower notes. And that's how we recorded that, directly onto the mix. With the erase head recorded.
Wow.
So if we messed up, it would have messed up the whole mix. We had one shot at it. That was
so
it.
You're a clutch player. So you're a songwriter.
Yes.
Obviously. We heard your ESPN thing. I know you've worked with Tom Chapin a lot. We're going to get into that later. Why don't you play a couple of songs for us? Two or three songs. Give us a short intro to each song and then play them and
sure,
sing.
Sure, I will. I'll do, these songs are from my CD, which is called Here's Your Canoe. Vanna White is going to hold it up right now. He has a couple of vowels and a couple of consonants. And this first song is called I Thought Love, which is short for I Thought Love Would Save the Day, which I thought was too long of a title. So. Thank you.
very nice, man. Just very, the craft behind that was very nice.
Oh, thanks. A friend of mine, Mark Rivera, do you know him? He works with Billy Joel.
Yes. What does he play?
He plays sax.
Yes.
He also plays guitar and bongos and...
He played across...
He sings really well.
He played across the street from my apartment 2 summers ago. He played in... He also plays in a Billy Joel cover band.
Oh, yeah.
And they blew out the electric grid in my whole neighborhood.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet.
But,
yeah, Mark was in the band that I played with John Lennon back in the 70s. So we worked on that song together. I had it pretty much almost done, and then, you know, we wrote the lyrics together. So
very nice.
So
very
that was
nice.
Co-written with Mark.
That's on this CD?
That's on Here's Your Canoe.
Has it been covered by anybody?
Not yet.
Gotta like the way you say it. Not yet.
There's always hope.
I hear the whole new music business now is basically working out in Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, that would probably be the place to shop it.
That's the place to shop it. Yeah, I sent it down to a few people I know down there.
So what do you got? What else you got for
What else
us?
You got?
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it down a little. This is a song I do when I play with Tom Chapin. And it gives me a little chance to sing one of my songs. This is the one I do.
Does he deduct from your salary when you do that?
No, no deductions. Which is very nice of him, because I sell CDs at the shows when I sing this song, you know. This is called Touch Someone. Lonely nights and empty days, we fill them up in different ways. Some put up walls surrounding them. Don't let
incredible. Thanks. Really, 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 really. You know, it's. I'm hearing a little Billy Joel. The night the lights went out on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
I'm hearing a little Chopin.
Well, we have similar backgrounds in that we're both classically trained. So that song in particular has a lot of the classical influence in it.
Yeah, but very beautiful. I mean, God, they could be a hit for someone. Maybe you. And your voice is, you know, you have that nice baritone, and you're able to actually get up there a little bit without straining. That's impressive.
Didn't destroy the sound, man. How you doing?
Very, 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 very nice. You got a third one for us?
Sure, why not? This song, actually, back in the day when I was working with Lennon and my friend Mark Rivera, we heard that Ringo was coming in to do an album. And Mark has subsequently played with Ringo in his band, the Ringo Starr, the All-Star Band.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Ringo.
Yeah, Mark was the musical director for that for a couple of years.
Wow.
So we heard he was going to do a new record, and I decided to write a song to send to Ringo to see if he could cover it, which he didn't do. But
did he actually get it?
Yeah, he got it. I assume he got it. And I wrote this one with a friend of mine named Mark DeMattis. He goes by J.M. DeMattis, and he writes comics. If any of you comic aficionados out there might know J.M. DeMattis. He writes, he wrote for Marvel and DC, a bunch of stuff. He does a lot of graphic novels and things like that. So he wrote the lyric, gave it to me, and I wrote the music for it.
Okay, let's hear it.
I don't want to go back to where I've been before. Just want to be where I am today. Today. You told me that you doubted me. You said you didn't care about my love and all that I could give. You said left when I related all the crosses that I've been and all the insane dramas I've lived. Say, I don't want to go back to where I've been before. Just want to be.
Hearing, I don't want to live in L.A. That's awesome. And right before your Ringo drum solo and you vamped on that one chord,
yeah.
That was for George to make a guest appearance on slide guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I was hoping you'd pick up your guitar and maybe play a little solo.
Well, a little secret is I got to take my kids out to dinner after this, and I don't want to leave the guitar in the case, so I just left the guitar home.
Good. I thought your secret was the guitar case was filled with hamburgers and french fries.
No. Yeah. You know what? I just want to give a little plug because this is a beautiful weighted key electric piano. And it's courtesy of Frank and Camille's in Hartsdale. It's really wonderful that they leave this here because it's a pain in the butt to take the elevators in this building. Right?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to show you the secret way out.
Oh, thanks.
I would have shown you the secret way in, except it's hard to explain. You know, we've got 5 minutes left. I got so much to talk to you about. We're going to do a second part of this show. I mean, I'm just in awe because the people you work with were my idols growing up. So,
There's a funny story about that, too. My friend Mark, who wrote the lyrics to Don't Want to Live in Yesterday,
yes,
was a very big Beatle fan and a John Lennon fan particularly, as was I. And so when I started working with John, he was begging me, let me come in and meet him. So we were doing this video of Imagine for him to do for some a BBC show. So they said we could bring somebody in to be a guest, you know, they could watch it, you know, in the control room. So I brought Mark along with me, and John came in. So I introduced John to Mark. And I said, John, this is Mark, my lyricist. And John said, hello, Mark, my lyricist. And Mark said, hello, John, my idol.
And was John cool?
He was very cool about it, yeah.
Now, was he surrounded by Yoko at this time?
Well, she wasn't surrounding him, but she was there, yeah.
Actually,
I met him during the time which is called the Lost Weekend, where...
That's what I was asking about, when he was with Harry Nilsson and May Pang.
And May Pang. May is still a good friend of mine. And I did some work for her back then. She produced a band called Bananas, which I played for. And we've remained friends. And it was during that period. And then John got back together with Yoko, and that's when we did our TV show called A Salute to Sir Lou Grade, which was a Channel 7 special. Lou Grade was kind of a British, impresario of talent.
Never heard of this show.
It was on in 1975. It was
okay. Well, I was alive then. I was just graduating.
You can get it on DVD.
Oh, you can.
Have little bits of it. And so it was John Lennon, Peter Sellers, Julie Andrews. I forgot who else was on the show. I hope I'm not leaving.
Poor woman can't sing anymore.
Yeah. Maybe that's the second show we'll talk about.
Okay. Oh, just quickly, I went to your website, mm-hmm. and there's a long list of renowned players that you've worked with. Tom Chapin.
Tom and I have been working together for 20 years.
Harry Chapin's brother, but renowned in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen him play, back in the 70s, basically, there was a big touring scene, and I saw Tom open for like a million people.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the old days, there was a real system where, they gave you a little time. Your first record didn't have to break big. We'll put you as the opening act for a couple of years.
Right.
So I remember Livingston Taylor was kind of in the same.
Yeah, we've done a lot of gigs with Livingston Taylor.
Right. Some other people that you've played in the band with?
Let's see. Well, I played on Dion. Remember Dion DiMucci?
Well, he had the King of the New York CD, which I remember.
Right, I played on his Return of the Wanderer CD. I played with Henry Gross. I toured with him for two
Shannon,
years.
Shannon
was his big hit, and we toured the country for 2 years opening for the Doobie Brothers.
Wow, and, love the Doobies.
Yeah, oh, that was great. And who else have I worked Klaus Nomi, that was a big one.
He was involved with the Beatles at some point, right?
He was involved with David Bowie. He was one of his background singers on Saturday Night Live, and then he broke out into his own kind of punk rock kind of thing. He sang in a high soprano voice.
If you can do it, if it works for you.
John Denver, I played on his record, and Cashman and West, and Chubby Checker.
I remember going to a Chubby Checker bass player audition at SIR Studios.
Oh, yeah.
And I stood on a line for like 2 hours. You know, and I'm sure at the end of the day, he just picked someone who was a studio musician. Or anyway, it's just fascinating. We're going to talk a little, you know, we were talking earlier off camera about the niche that people have, how they really find a way to make money in this difficult business. We're going to keep that a surprise for part two, when we're going to get to know you a little better and we're going to talk about our standard questions. Thank you so much for playing, and I look forward to seeing you in 5 minutes. Great job.
Thanks.
Do we need to do anything in the 5 minutes?